Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, welcome to the program.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I'm doing very well. Good. And we have a special surprise today. We have two guests in the studio today, and they came all the way from Switzerland.
Wow.
So this is very special for us to have some guests in the studio.
That's fantastic.
And I want to welcome our viewers to the program today. We want to talk about Syria. Lots of things stirring up. And once again, we're involved in the middle of it. And Russia is challenging us. And Al-Tanf is the latest hot spot that's stirring up problems. And guess what? We're right in the middle of it. And Russia has the audacity to suggest that we're there illegally. All we'd have to do is talk to a congressman and ask if it's legal. And they say, well, where's that? Where's Syria? Where's Al-Tanf? But the Congress is not too interested in it. And when I make fun of that, it's very serious making fun, because we are there illegal. Maybe under international laws and standards, it's illegal. But under American law, it's illegal because we're in the middle of a war. And quite frankly, we haven't declared, the Congress hasn't declared this war, and we're over there in the middle, and there's a battle brewing at Al-Tanf, and the individual, there's a holdout there, there are 6,000 terrorists there attack, and they're being protected, unfortunately, by America, so we're involved in it. But the Iranian forces, in alliance with the Syrian government, they're coming in there, and there may well be a conflict right there, a military conflict. And that, of course, may get settled and blow over for another month or two. But it is a hot spot. There are other hot spots in Syria. It hasn't finished there, but it certainly is a lot better than it was a few years ago, when it looked like there would be a total victory for United States and its ally Saudi Arabia and Israel. But right now, it looks like they have a problem on their hands, and that right now we'll be going and trying to dissect through this exactly how serious this problem is.
And this, Dr. Paul, is one of the big hotspots, and we've identified three, and we'll talk about the other two. But what drew our attention is the Russian military officials saying that Al-Tanf is, quote, the last stronghold of evil. You know, Americans don't like to think of the military being involved in evil, but in fact, the U.S. is not there legally. There is no legal justification for the U.S. to put its troops on some of the other countries' sovereign territory. As you report, 6,000 terrorists, ISIS and others, are essentially being protected in about a 55-square-kilometer zone around this base. So the issue was, what is the U.S. military doing there? The original justification when President Obama put him in there was, hey, we've got to fight ISIS. Well, ISIS is essentially gone except for the ISIS that we're protecting. So then we had the U.S. Special Envoy for Syria, Jeffries, said, no, we're there for Iran. We've got to take out Iran. And that was a couple of months ago. And now we've just seen another piece where U.S. military officials said we are increasing our presence there because we have to prepare for any pro-regime activities.
So they've dropped the whole pretense of, oh, we're in there to fight terrorists. Right now it's get Assad. Assad has to go. So they're lining it up, and it looks like there's more military there. The Iranian forces are providing a lot of help. You know, this is a strategic place because it's at a point where the three countries come together, Jordan, Iraq, and Syria, and Route 1 runs through there. And the Route 1, if you look at Route 1, it's almost like running right through the center of the Shia Crescent. And this is about the Shia Crescent. It's about Iran. It's about Saudi Arabia and Israel and the United States and lining up all these ducks. But quite frankly, the law, the international law right now is on the side of Syria. At the same time, you know, just the geography and also this whole idea of who's representing the homeland when you look at this particular area. And it looks very much like the invasion is coming from the outsiders, and this pretense that we're there. This is the part that really bothers me the most. The pretense that we're there because we are the champions of freedom and prosperity, and that we have to get those terrorists. Just think of how many times terrorism the claim that terrorism is the reason we have to do such and such. I mean, almost every single day, they use this all the time, you know, in the Congress. Oh, they're terrorists, and nobody ever defines them, and one day we're against the terrorists, and the next time, we're for them, and this sort of thing. So it's something that may come to a conclusion here. Because if they are moving more troops in here, it's strategic, it's important, the highway's important, and it's very, very important. It should be the least important to the citizens of the United States.
Yeah.
But it's very important, you know, to Russia, because they're close allies of Syria. It's very important to Iran, because they're allies with Syria as well. And these alliances, they're important, and Jordan's important, but they try to walk a middle road there. And yet our strategic interests are manufactured. They're not strategic. Strategically, what we do is we create problems for ourselves. You know, we're just going looking for problems, and it usually costs money and it costs lives. A lot of times it's American lives, but a lot of times it's other people's lives. We don't even count anymore. There's collateral damage. That's not even talked about. But I think the other thing that aggravates me, too, is the complacency of the American people. But that could be compensated with if we didn't have the complacency or the going along with it from the U.S. Congress, because the special interests, the lobbyists, are able to get to the members of Congress, because you can't walk away from that. You can be accused of all kinds of things, from un-Americanism to who knows what, if you say, you know, we shouldn't be there. The same way, if we say we should quit fighting in Yemen, we can be accused of all kind of evil doing. And I would think coming home and taking care of ourselves here, and maybe even dealing strategically with our borders might be more justifiable than worrying about all these borders throughout the world and remaking the Middle East. Our job of remaking the Middle East hasn't gone all that well.
Well, the hypocrisy of how the U.S. government ties itself in knots to explain the U.S. presence in Syria is really astounding. And you had Pompeo, who I'm going to make fun of every day. I don't care what the show's about, I'm going to hit him every day. But he gave a speech at the German Marshall Fund in Brussels a few days ago, and we talked about it. He mentioned in this speech, he mentioned the word sovereignty 8 times in the speech. The importance of sovereignty, we got to respect sovereignty. The U.S. is just fighting for its sovereignty. Well, the U.S. is encroaching, obviously, on the sovereignty of Syria. You know, it's like the idea that only the U.S. is allowed to have allies. Any other country that has allies, totally illegitimate. The fact of the matter is, as you point out, that Syria was essentially on the verge of being taken over by jihadists. They reached out to 2 allies that were willing to help Russia and Iran. You got to save us from ISIS. You got to save us from these guys. And they did. They signed up as allies. And somehow that's illegitimate because we didn't bless it, you know. And here's Pompeo again in October. He was giving a speech before the Jewish Institute for National Security of America. And here's what he said about Iran. In there, at the request of the legitimate Syrian government, the onus for expelling Iran from the country falls on the Syrian government, which bears responsibility for its presence there. Yeah, that's called having allies. You know, it does bear responsibility. They invited them in there. And what did they do when they were there? They defeated ISIS and Al-Qaeda. You'd think we'd be praising them. You'd think we'd be looking for ways for openings to Iran for doing some of the dirty work that we didn't do.
You know, we haven't done a very good job in developing an ally in Venezuela, and that's a real challenge. But yesterday we mentioned the fact that Pompeo was lecturing the Russians because the Russians were using, they sent some bombers down to Venezuela and they wanted to be friends, and maybe they're interested in making an oil deal or something. And Pompeo was just outraged and said, 2 countries like this wasting all their money on this militarism when they could be taking care of people that are poor and starving. And that has to be. You wonder how they can do that. He's an intelligent person in the sense, but intelligence doesn't guarantee wisdom.
Yeah.
That's one thing I learned on. Wisdom comes, that's a separate issue. And I would give him credit. He's an intelligent person. It's just a shame that intelligence wouldn't be translated into a wise choice in what kind of a society we ought to have.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's powder keg one, Al-Tanf. And I mean, that could blow up any time. That could have U.S. directly fighting Iranian forces. maybe even U.S. fighting Russian forces, because as we started, the Russians are getting a little ticked off with our continued presence there because they're trying to clean things up. I would say powder keg number two has to do with the Kurdish regions in Syria. And Erdogan, that Turkey's leader, said just a couple of days ago, I think it was just yesterday or today, he said Turkey's going to launch a military operation against the U.S.-backed Kurdish fighters, the YPG, within days. So think about this. This is fascinating. This is the last of the proxy U.S. forces. All the other guys turned out to be al-Qaeda, so those aren't our guys anymore, supposedly. But the Kurds are our last stronghold, and here's our NATO ally, Turkey, saying, we're going to go to war against these guys. We're going to take them out.
You know, and that is a difficult situation because there's a long-term battle, you know, with the Kurds and the Turks and the various forces there. But the one thing is, my argument is that we don't help things out by us being in there and picking sides on this. Yes, it's a problem. It's a border dispute. It's a, depending on how it's going to be handled. But I think the people locally there, as local as you can get, should be the ones that sort this all out. And that's why, once again, there's a problem there, but I do not believe for a minute that we help things by picking sides like that. And that's a difficult argument to make, that we're picking sides. Which side are we on today? Yeah. Are we on the Kurd side or the Turk side? Well, we have treaties with the Turks, but we have to help the Kurds because the Kurds don't like Assad. You know, interventionism is not a wise choice.
It's a messy dish. And here's what Erdogan said, announcing he's going to do an offensive. He said, our target is not the American soldiers. It is the terror organizations that are active in the region. Which, if you think about it, that's pretty astounding. What he's saying is, you know, we don't want to shoot Americans, but Americans are protecting terrorists. He's accusing a NATO ally of being in league with terrorists in Syria. And the words have meaning, and that's pretty astounding.
Yeah, but he has to be cautious, you know. I mean, what if the truth gets out, you know, and they have to tread cautiously. But once again, it is the mess trying to sort all this out. And, you know, it looks like for years we didn't have much conversation about the Middle East. As bad as it was since World War I, the line's drawn there. But, you know, this type of conversation we're having now and all these revolutions, it's a 21st century phenomenon. And it's a consequence of 9/11. And it's a consequence of a very changed attitude that we have, where we thought since the Soviets no longer existed, we were the powerhouse and we have the currency and we have this moral obligation to be involved and settle all these disputes. And it's ongoing. So I don't see how it ends gracefully. I don't think people are going to sit down and say, okay, we've overstepped our bounds. We're going to back off on this. I think we have locked ourselves into a place where it's going to be very, very difficult. I'd love them to start thinking about, you know, the policies that we talk about and work toward them. There's no reason why you couldn't do that, but the likelihood right now, I don't think is very likely to happen.
Well, what I think will happen is something really serious will happen, a serious confrontation. And all the experts in Washington say, golly, we didn't see that coming. How'd that happen, you know? Because they're not looking at it in an objective way. But Idlib, I would say, is the third powder keg. This thing is ready to blow. There was an agreement earlier this year when the Russians and the Syrians were ready to take it. You know, this is the last stronghold of ISIS and al-Qaeda under different names that they change all the time. But this is where they and their families are concentrated, in addition to quite a few civilians. But they're kind of stuck in their hold up here. According to that agreement, there's kind of a sanitary cordon that's being guarded by the Turks and the Syrians, not letting anyone out or in. But there's a lot of shelling from Idlib going out into Syria. And really, this is ready to blow. If you remember, this agreement earlier this year was kind of hastily put together because the U.S. was making a lot of very strong hints. If you go in there, you're going to be attacking these innocent people. Don't you dare do it. We're going to come and bomb you. So I think that kind of precipitated this agreement. But now it's really untenable when you have a little bastion of terrorism. Imagine if, you know, Utah was full of terrorists, you know, when you have this bastion. So it's untenable. The Russians are flying recon over Idlib. They're preparing for battle. They're looking for strongholds of these militias, of these terrorist groups. Syrian forces are ready. They want to finish this war and go home. So that really is the third powder keg. Either those three or all of those three together could blow at any moment.
And I think if anybody was keeping score accurately, Assad's winning. And our side, not our side per se, but our government's side, they're losing. And we shouldn't be there. But this is a big deal for those who would like to make sure that Russia and Assad and the Iranians have no control over this area. So what I think this will prompt is to precipitate what you're worrying about, and that is the end is coming. They know they're losing. They're going to be more desperate. They might decide, are we going to walk away? You know, finally, you know, we finally walked away from Vietnam, an utter tragedy.
Yeah.
Are we likely to walk away and give up? We're not near that. We're not close to it. We're not even close in Afghanistan, where we ought to be a lot closer. So I think, if anything, if the Assad allies want to conclude this, and they say, this is it, we're going to close this out and we're going to take it over and throw all you guys out, that would be a big deal. Or if the other side say, hey, we're losing this, we have hardly anything left, and the Iranians are winning, you know, and here we didn't do a good job in Iraq. It turns out that they like the Iranians, and that's our government. That's our reform. And they are going to, you know, exert themselves. And I think it's this desperation. The unintended consequences, nobody ever dreamed it would get to this point. And what they do when they're desperate is something that even they themselves can't predict right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would just suggestion to the president. You inherited Obama's dumb Syria policy. There's no reason to continue it. This is what Hillary would have done, and people voted for you instead of Hillary. They don't want another 4 years of Obama muddling around in Syria. We have no business being there. Let them sort it out for themselves. Chart a new course. Get us out of Syria.
Okay, Daniel, you're giving the president advice. It sounds to me like very good advice. It's a shame he needs advice. But I'll tell you, I'm going to address my thoughts to the American people. Wake up. You're the ones who suffer. The middle class, the people who don't like what's happening, people who think that we need socialism. You have to look at these policy and why it's geared against the destruction of the middle class. And it's not because we have too much economic freedom and too much liberty. It's exactly the opposite, because we've been living with a system that just doesn't work. So the American people have to wake up, because the Congress is sound asleep, totally asleep. They either don't care or they don't know. But eventually the people have to wake up. Vietnam ended after years and years of tragedy, finally because the American people said, enough is enough. And I was in the service at that time, and I knew how terrible it was. And finally, which is sad, it takes so long, but we ought to try to alert the people, and that is why we have our program. Trying to alert the American people as to what's going on, and encourage you to act by spreading a message of what liberty is all about and why it's important to have a non-interventionist foreign policy. Thank you for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.